Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's good to have you with us. And especially if this is your first time catching our live stream from Emmanuel, it's really great to have you all with us. So we pray that obviously that God will meet with us all. And I want to also say a special thank welcome to those who are perhaps listening on their telephones. We've set up this conferencing thing, so welcome to you, especially if you're joining us on that. But let's pray for God's presence amongst us. So let's commit our time to Him. So Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have, albeit strange and still very virtual. And Lord, we're missing being physically with one another. But thank you that by your Spirit you keep us as one, and we are one, and we are still family. So Lord, as we spend this time together, as we sing, as we consider different aspects of life with you, we pray that Lord God, you would meet with us. And particularly as we share communion together, we ask that you would have your hand upon us. So Lord, we give this time to you, and we pray for your glory, and that we meet with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, brilliant. A few announcements, few notices, and I mentioned in my prayer there, and if you are a visitor to us and you've not had your warning, we are sharing communion today, and it would be really great if you are able to join us for that. So you need a piece of bread or a cracker or a glass of wine, well, not too big. And also, or some juice, some fruit juice, whatever. But we'd like you to get that ready, at some point, and then later you can share with us in communion. That would be really, really good. We sent out an email yesterday, quite late yesterday, but, there is a special, request at the moment. There's some urgent needs of supplies for the Swanage Food Bank. And so we're asking if you could be able to get some extra shopping when next time you go, and either deliver it to the food bank or get hold of me or Chris Collins. But one way or another, we'll get it to the food bank. So if you're wanting precisely what, you need to check out your emails. If you've not done that yet, please could you do that? And let's give generously to the food bank. It's been really inundated this last week, I gather, and it's emptied a lot of their shelves. So if you could pick up on that, that would be fantastic. Also, on Wednesday this week, we've got our 24 hours of prayer, which is the churches together gathering for that. Again, an email went out about that. It'd be really great if you could sign up for an hour. Even if you don't sign up, just take some time, if you would, just to bring our nation and our world to God in prayer. That would be fantastic. In the evening, we have our worship on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. And we're really grateful to Adam and the crew at Greystones in Langton to do that. So do join us at 7 till 8. That would be brilliant. And of course, here next Sunday. Poor Rich and I tell you, poor guy, he's so sort of stressed with it, a little bit stressed with all the technology. You'll have to bear with us on these things. But finally, of course, we are still in lockdown, unfortunately. I know it's frustrating and your patience is getting wearing a bit thin. Can I encourage you, please, let's stay at home. Let's not bend the rules. Let's stay 2 metres apart. But we can stay connected. So through life group, through phone calls, through Facebook, whatever, Facebook Messenger, have about a sort of a live chat, you know, video chat with somebody. Why not? Let's do it. Let's stay connected. That would be really, really important. Okay, I think that's all the notices and things and announcements for the time being. So we're going to start and move on to our next part of our service, which is our worship. So handing over to Adam and the team.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to start our worship this morning by singing, O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hand has made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Went through the woods and forest glades I walked, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. Then I looked down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not spared, scarce can take it in. And on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
Thank you so much, Chrissy and Jane. Chrissy and Jane are going to lead us on the next song.
Jesus, rise here, rise up.
It's pots and pans time. Let me get your pots and pans out. We're going to have a little bit of a change in direction now with a kids' song. I've been missing them so much. Richard's been doing the kids' songs and I've been missing doing them, so I thought we'd stick one in.
God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty.
It's not Mark, it's me. Haha. Hello, everybody. It's good to see you and be with you today. And I've got a question for you, hence all the question marks, which is who at home has got a pet? Now, if you want to type in the comments over on the left or right or wherever they are on your screen, if you've got a pet, tell me what you've got. I know that some of you have got dogs. I know there's a couple of you who've got more than one dog and a few of you who've got other pets, but I have a pet. And actually he was given to me for Father's Day, and I've got a rabbit called RB8, and I absolutely love him. He's brilliant because he doesn't bark, he's silent. If he does a poo, it's solid, it's hard, it doesn't matter if you tread on it, it doesn't go everywhere, and it doesn't smell. And I think house rabbits are possibly the best pet that you can get. And anyone who comes around my house, you're more than welcome to have a look at RBB8. But I want to tell you a story about a rabbit we used to have as a family. And his name was Simmy, and he actually belonged to my daughter, Olivia. Now, I've brought someone in to help me tell this story today. And that is a little rabbit who's a bit sleepy. Hopefully he's not going to run away on me, because my daughter's rabbit once did a very naughty thing and he tried to escape. And I've got a Bible verse to talk about today as well. And it's a question. Sometimes we have lots of questions for God, but this is a question that Jesus asked other people. And he said this: what do you benefit? Okay, what good is it for you if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And what Jesus is asking here is, you've got something so precious inside of you, your soul, the bit of you that lives forever, the bit of you that gets to be with God if we know and love him. And what good is it if you get everything you want in life, but you forget to look after your soul and your relationship with God? That's right, isn't it? Okay, and I want to tell you a story now about my daughter's rabbit, RB8, who was a gorgeous jet black rabbit. And he was a house rabbit, and he used to live in our house. And when I used to come home from work in Suffolk, he used to be the first one to run and meet me at the door, and he'd run around my feet, and he used to sit next to me on the sofa and watch TV with me, and he was absolutely lovely. But to make sure that he got enough exercise outside the house, we had a run for him in the back garden. And one day, it was a nice sunny Friday, my wife and I, we put the rabbit out in the back garden, okay, yeah, and we put him out there so he could eat some grass and he could have a nibble and he could have a bit of a play, and we went to run a mum and toddlers group. And we had a really great time talking to lots of mums and dads and playing with children. And when we got home, I went to make us a cup of tea, and I looked out the back window of our kitchen and I saw something very strange in our rabbit's hutch in the run. It wasn't a rabbit, it was a little rabbit-sized hole. And I thought, oh dear, where has Simmy gone? So I went out the back garden and I looked in the run, and there was a little rabbit-sized hole in the run, and there was a little rabbit-sized hole outside the run, and there was no rabbit, was there? And he'd escaped. Now, our rabbit had thought that he was trapped and thought, I've got a little bit of grass in here and there seems to be an awful lot more of it in the garden. If I dig a little hole, I can escape and I can run away and I can go wherever I like and I can eat whatever I like and I can have an awful lot more fun than I can have here in this run. But what my rabbit didn't realise is that actually, for a tame house rabbit and not a wild rabbit, he was going to get in a lot of trouble outside of the garden. We lived in a really rural area and we used to have foxes and badgers, like some of you get in parts of Swanage. We lived outside a really big, busy road that trucks and things used to drive along, and if my rabbit ran out into the road, he'd get squashed flat. If he ran out of our back garden and across a picket fence, he was in a big, huge farmer's field where he'd get probably lost or eaten as well. And actually, wild rabbits might not like him very much. They might tell him to go away and be a bit mean to him and unkind. And my rabbit thought that it gained the whole world and it could go wherever it wanted. And what it didn't realise is that actually, outside the safety of its run, it was in danger. Now, I was really worried about the rabbit, but actually the thing I was most scared of was telling our lovely 8-year-old girl at the time that her rabbit had run away. And I thought, a bit like Liam Neeson in Taken, I've got about 15 minutes to find this rabbit before it is gone forever. So I started running around the garden looking for this jet black bunny. I couldn't see him anywhere in the garden. I ran over down the ditch out the back garden, into the next field, couldn't find anything. Ran out to the front, up and down the road, couldn't see anything. And then one of my neighbours asked, are you looking for a rabbit? And I said, yes, my rabbit's run away. He's gone. I can't find him anywhere. And she said, he's in my garden, but I'm scared of rabbits, so I can't pick him up. And I thought, who on earth is scared of rabbits? But I was really grateful, so I hopped over a couple of fences, and there in this lady's garden was my daughter's jet black bunny rabbit having a wonderful time. And every time I walked towards him to pick him up, he hopped away. And every time I got a bit closer, he ran in the opposite direction, and I was trying to rescue him, but he was running away from me. And so I started to move towards him a bit quickly, and he ran really, really quickly towards the lady's house. And she slammed the door and screamed, and my rabbit, instead of running into her house, bolted to the right and started running up an alley towards the main road. Now, I am running really, really hard now, and I'm chasing this rabbit, trying to get him, and I think I'm going to have to jump and catch him. And I was terrified I was going to squash him flat. Sorry. I was really terrified I was going to land on him and squash him, but I didn't. And he was running, and I leapt and I managed to grab him by his back legs and pull him up and catch him like a baby. And his heart was beating away and my heart was beating away, but I was so glad I'd managed to rescue our rabbit. So I took him back, I took him into our house, and I put him in his own little hutch there. We gave him some food and he calmed down. But it was a rescue mission, because if I hadn't found that rabbit, he wouldn't have survived in the wild. Either got by a car or a fox or some other animal would have had him for his tea. but I managed to rescue the rabbit. But it brings me back to this question Jesus asked. My rabbit thought it had found freedom. It had escaped, it could do whatever it wanted, but it didn't realise how much danger it was in. And here, back to Jesus' question, what good does it do us if we get everything we think we want, everything we desire, we don't have to listen to anyone, we can do whatever we like, but actually if that gets in the way of our relationship with God and we forget about Him, we've made a bad deal. Is anything worth more than your soul? Now, I rescued a rabbit, but we believe that Jesus came into this world to rescue something far more precious, and that's you. So boys and girls, mums and dads, families, older folk, Mark, me, Jesus came into this world because God loves us, and He looked at our world, and a bit like the rabbit, we've escaped the hutch. We've dug little holes everywhere, and we're doing our own thing. And Jesus came to find us, to save us, and to bring us back to Him. And I think that's really good news. I'm going to hand over to Rob and Bethany, who are going to talk about our amazing, great, big God.
Our God is a great, big God. Our God is a great, big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and He's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams. And He's known me and He's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and He's deeper than a submarine. Wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams. And He's known me and He's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. And He holds us in His hands. And He holds us in His hands. And He holds us in His hands.
Thank you, Rob and Bethany. We're going to slow it down a little bit now before we come to a word on the communion.
Okay, thanks Adam and Grace Stones, but also thanks to Janie and Chris too. Bless you for your contributions there. Well, we are living in very strange times, aren't we? Challenging times, interesting times, changing times. On the one hand, humankind is struggling to find a way forward. What is life really going to look like? You know, we've got parts of society, a lot more, and it's getting a little bit less at the moment, but in lockdown. We've got people wanting to be free while they're in that lockdown, yet it's for their own good. We've got some who are trapped in fear, and others who are completely blasé and flippant about the whole situation. Don't think it's going to affect them. We've got people who've lost their jobs, and we've got nations pretty well right across the whole of the world who are facing some of the worst economic times of the last century. We've got hospitals which are full of really very poorly people, some not even recovering. And the death toll around the globe is in the hundreds of thousands. It's a desperate set of circumstances. And yet, on the other hand, humanity is coming together to love and to care in ways they've never done before. We're seeing community be birthed afresh and anew. And where there's a growing respect even for the non-celebrity heroes, for all that they do, people who wouldn't normally be recognised are becoming the heroes for the moment. And there's rival companies who in industry are fearful of one another and are competing against one another. They are now coming together, particularly pharmaceutical companies, to find a vaccine. It's interesting. And where, in fact, because of all that's going on, and particularly the lockdown, our planet is beginning to recover after decades of abuse. Where creativity is finding new levels of expression. And even where a 100-year-old guy raises over £30 million for the NHS purely by walking his backyard. These are incredibly unfamiliar, unpredictable, unprecedented days. I know that's a word which has been used dozens of times in recent weeks. Days that actually may usher in a whole new way of being upon planet Earth. We don't know how the future's going to look from here on in. So bearing all that in mind, what are we as God's people? What are we going to do in this changing, this mixed up world? How should we, those of us who claim to follow God, how should we be living? What change should we be a part of? And you know, people across our world have been through crises like this before. There's the World War, which is being referred to, because it's a similar sort of scenario, except for our war is in a virus state and not against other human beings in quite the same way. But, you know, should our lives be any different, or should the way in which we as Christians be any different to centuries ago, even through the crisis? Should it be any different to the ways laid out for us within God's word, within the scriptures? Thousands of years. Should it be any different? Let's hear a section from God's word. We're going to hear it from two lovely people, and that's Philip and Madge, and they're going to read it to us. Colossians 3, 1 to 17.
Good morning, everyone. Our reading today is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Rules for holy living. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator.
Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since, as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
The Lord will bless this reading of his word to us all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, both of you, for doing that. Really appreciate it. But you know, it's a great passage, a wonderful passage, but we could have chosen many, many other passages, because the scriptures are full of directions and leading us to know how we should behave as God's people. And I don't think any of it has changed. Yet, going back to these times which we're living in, those of us who have that living relationship with God, as we dig deep, as we try to fathom out what on earth is going on and what we should do and how we should be in this struggling, mixed up world, we come down, when you start whittling it all away, we come down to one key fact, or rather, the who. The who is immovable and unchanging, solid and steadfast, and that is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. When all is stripped away, as Matt Redman's song says, and as we come back to the core of what makes us who we are, it all boils down to him, Jesus Christ. It's all about him. The one who is in us and who we are in him because of all that Christ has done. He is our very identity. He's our hope. He's our future. We have actually no other foundation on which to build our lives. There's no other rock on which to stand. We've got no other purpose for which to live for. He is the Almighty God, all-powerful, ever-present God. He's the eternal, immovable, unchanging one. This whole scenario, which we're in as humankind at the moment, is no surprise to him. He knows all about it. He's above it all. He's over it all. In fact, he is our all in all. He's the one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And therefore, I believe that that which we're about to do this morning in sharing the bread and the wine together, in taking communion, is a reminder that actually apart from him, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We are nothing. We have nothing. We are totally reliant upon him, the sovereign God, the Lord of all lords. And as we celebrate and we remember Jesus in this way, through very simple bread and wine, we actually drive a stake into the ground. We raise a banner. We place a marker in our lives. And not only here on earth, but also in the heavenly realms too, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the foundation. He's the fixed point. I have to say, even more so nowadays. Everything else is shifting sand. There is nothing as solid and as reliable as the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. No one. No one. He is the Lord. He's the Lion and the Lamb. He's the one who spoke and the whole world came into being, but he was the one who came and gave himself as a sacrifice so that we might find him and know him. He did it all that we might have it all. Take him out of our lives, take him out of this whole equation at the moment. We have nothing left. Yeah? And as we've just read in Colossians 3, verse 3, it actually says our life is now hidden with Christ in God. We're finished anyway. The psalmist actually says that we're like a sort of a breath of air. We grow like a flower in the field and it comes and it goes. So in one sense, we are nothing. And when we're in Christ, we died to him, into our own lives anyway, in order to rise to new life in him. We died when we came to Christ. And we're here for him. And for his purposes only. We're not our own anymore. As Paul says somewhere else in Corinthians, I think it is, we were bought at a price. And wow, what a price. So we're not ours. Our life is not our own to do with as we choose. None of us are anything apart from him. He is our very breath of life in our bodies, in our physical bodies. He's our breath of life in our spirits, bringing us fullness of life and truth in life. And as it says in verse 11 in this passage, Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and is in all. You know, when we contemplate all these things, when we consider this God and the Lord Jesus and all that he did and has done for us, we need to let him, this stuff, sink in. We can get so taken up with all the stuff going on around us that actually we don't focus on him as much as we should. And I believe that is going to be the way forward through this whole crisis for God's people. That is God's message. And I'd like us to take a few minutes in reflection, just as we come towards communion. And what I'd like us to do is to allow the whole of our being to get caught up with him afresh. So let's just take a moment in silence. The microphone will go dead for a bit as we reposition ourselves, but Let's focus upon him. Okay, so as we come to communion, let's get your bread and your wine ready, if we could. But we need to recognise that we've failed, that we are not the people God wants us to be. We've always let him down, and we continually let him down. And yet, he's a God who forgives. He's a God who forgives. So we're going to use the words of the confession. I'd like us to pray this together if we could. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins to you. The sins of the past and of the present. Those hidden and forgotten, as well as those remembered. My sins of thought and desire, of word, of deed, and of omission. The sins that I am too dull of heart to see. The sins that others can see and I cannot. The sins known to you alone. I am sorry for all of them. I ask you to forgive me through the merit of Jesus, my Saviour. Please renew your life in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, there's an invitation. This great, all-powerful God we've been considering, who came to that place through the Lord Jesus Christ, came to show us how we should live, is calling us to remember him. And that's what this little feast is all about. It's small in human terms, but it's massive in spiritual terms. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. So if you'd like to just take your cracker or your piece of bread in your hands. And as we break it, let's remember what Christ has done for us. So Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord God Almighty, as we take this simple reminder, we ask, O God, that you would make it something really special for us today. In the midst of these strange days, this crisis which humanity is in, this is your answer. So Lord, help us, I pray. And as we eat of this, remind us again of the wonder of all that you have done for us. So come, Holy Spirit. Come and minister to us. But Lord, thank you for all that that means to us. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us hope and a future. Thank you for dying for us, that we might live. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So let us take the bread and eat. Thank you, Lord. as we consider how we've been made clean, then there is the blood of Christ poured out for us. It was his sacrifice. It was his shedding of his blood which has made us clean. We need to keep coming back to this place day in and day out, recognizing that we on our own cannot solve this. We cannot get through this, but in him we can. We need to trust him. We need to thank him. And we need to ask for his cleansing and his forgiveness. So thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the symbolism of this wine, reminding us of your shed blood, of your cleansing, of your fresh start for us. So Lord, as we take this wine, this juice, we say thank you, God, for your immense sacrifice. And thank you for the promise that it brings, the new covenant, that you'll, as long as we stay in you, you will always be there. You'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. We are yours. And you are mine. Thank you, God. So let us take and drink in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. So, Father God, we want to thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for setting this reminder in place for us. And I pray that, Lord, we would never lose the immensity of what you did for us and what you've done for this world. Help us always to be grateful, Jesus, in your lovely name. Amen. Amen. Just considering, moving on in one sense, remembering the rest of that passage in Colossians 3, it then brings us and takes us into a wonderful, into some wonderful encouragements, as well as challenges perhaps, about how we should live, therefore, in this world, with the reality of who Christ is and what he's done for us. And as we've been thinking, our world is lost, it's broken, it's struggling at the moment. So the way we live in these days is crucial. God's word is timeless, so that which he has given to us in these verses is actually timeless. It's still relevant today. And it's a powerful testimony as we do live this way to what God, God's life in us. And it's about putting off. PowerPoint, please, Rich. Sorry. It's about putting off the old ways and putting on the new. It's about leaving our old way of being and entering into that new way, that life, which we've just been thinking about and celebrating. We're like ambassadors to Christ in Christ's kingdom. We're like visiting a world that's not our home, showing people how amazing our real home really is, and inviting them to come back with us. We're lights of hope to those who are stumbling around in spiritual darkness. So how do we shine with that hope? We live our lives in such a way that those who don't believe can see that there is something in us that's good and wonderful. Something, or rather someone, who's different. Something or someone they'll be curious about. Someone they'll want for themselves too. So what I want to do, I just want us to finish by praying some of the words which we've just been reading. And I'm going to use the last few verses from Colossians 3 as a prayer over us and for us. So if you just want to listen and just sit and be and receive from God, let's allow God to soak us and to refresh us in himself. So let's pray. Lord, clothe us with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Help us, O God, to bear with each other and to forgive one another, especially if any of us has a grievance against someone else. Forgive us, Lord, as you forgave us. And Lord, over all these virtues, fill us with your love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let your peace, the peace of Christ, rule in our hearts. And help us to be thankful. May you, Jesus Christ, and your message dwell in and among us richly. And help us to admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing and worshipping God with gratitude in our hearts. And Lord, whatever we do, whether in word or deed, let's do it all in your name, O God. And for your glory, Jesus, giving thanks to you, the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Those are an encouragement. Those words are for us to take and say, God, this is the way you want us to live in these days. Christ-like and one with him. Amen. Amen. Let's keep praying for that, if we could. We're going to sing our final song. It won't be quite the end of the service, but we're going to sing our final song. So over to you, Adam. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. We're going to finish our service by singing two golden oldies. If you can remember these, that's great. If not, it's time to learn them, because they're really, really good songs, written by a friend of mine, Dave Bilbra. got something special for the grace. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, declaring aloud. That's what we've just sung. Declaring aloud all that God's done. And the biggest things we can say and is by what we do. And so it's by our attitude and who we are. So let's take to heart that which we've been thinking about today. But as Adam says, we have a lovely way to finish. And we've got Tammy and the girls who are going to lead us in the grace. So let's join with them. So thanks, girls, and God bless everyone.
Good morning, UBC.
Please join in with saying the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever.